That's how you do it. On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics following the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms. Check it out.
All right, Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Happy Monday to you all.
Thank you, hey, Benjamin.
Or y'all, as they say down south.
Yep, and he means south of 79th Street. All right, let's talk about what's happening here in the Van Dyke trial. Pretty interesting opening arguments.
Yeah, fascinating, right? Dan Herbert, Jason Van Dyke's attorney, summed it up by saying, if the decision for this officer to shoot was lawful, there is no crime. He's trying to make it very simple, right? If you're a police officer, either you have the right to use deadly force or you don't. Doesn't matter how many shots were fired. Doesn't matter other extenuating circumstances. He is trying to say, if this officer was correct to fear for his life, and who can say whether he feared for his life other than the officer himself, the shooting was justified. There's no crime.
You can make that argument for any police shooting, and that's the, I think what the burden here is really going to be on the defense. As I watch this today, I get the sense of how they need to structure this. And yeah, you're right, Ben, that's they're trying to make the argument that this was a justifiable shooting in terms of the first shots. The prosecution in this case, very interesting opening argument, because the guy who was doing the prosecution, the guy who's doing the opening argument, the lead prosecutor in this case, is the King County State's Attorney, because Cook County has recused itself from this case. Mm-hmm. He got up there and he talked about the fact that, you know, he goes, it wasn't just the one or two or three shots that took him down, it was four and five and six, and he goes through the whole 16, up to 16. So I think that's going to be very compelling for this jury. But on the other hand, you've got police officers who are showing up and saying, yeah, well, you know, we were following this guy for a long time. The argument that you're seeing laid out by the defense is that Laquan McDonald had been on a rampage for hours and hours prior to this fatal moment.
Breaking into trucks, slashing tires.
He stabbed a police car.
Right.
This is something that is important. Right in the last moments here, there were police following him. They were staying behind him. He had a knife in his hand. They weren't trying to wrestle him to the ground because he had a knife. And police officers had their guns drawn, and they were following him in a car, and some of them were following him on foot. And at one point, a car stopped. He turned to the car, police car. He stabbed the tire and then stabbed the windshield of the car. And then he turns and runs away. And you see the running away. That's where the video starts that we've seen so commonly here.
Describe something. There's something new that I heard today, Ben, and I wonder if it was new to you, too. The defense talked about how Laquan McDonald was running toward a Dunkin' Donuts in the area with the knife in his hand. And then Van Dyke, the officer, moved to block his path.
Had cut him off.
Cut him off with his squad car, because at this point, Laquan McDonald was planning to attack. Those are facts I had not heard before.
Well, we know that there's a Burger King and a Dunkin' Donuts in that area, and the officers were attempting to corral, essentially, Laquan McDonald at the time. And you're right, I hadn't heard that specific detail before. But the other factors the prosecutors are bringing up is that there were other officers on the scene, including the officers who were in the car whose tires Laquan McDonald slashed, and none of them felt threatened to the point to fire. Yes, they had pulled their guns, but none of them felt threatened. And that's what you're seeing in these first couple of witnesses. We're about six or eight witnesses in, and they're trying to establish the actual threat to not only Jason Van Dyke, but to the other people in the area, because there were a few bystanders in that area as well.
But I think that's what the defense is trying to do with the opposite, with the Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe he was rushing to the Dunkin' Donuts to try to do harm there, so they're trying to create that reverse narrative.
Right, but you had one officer testify today that they were trying to be patient, his words.
I see.
Right. With Laquan McDonald.
But
they
there
had already
been patience
gone on the radio asking for a unit with a taser to arrive, and they described essentially trying to stall Laquan McDonald, trying to wait for that taser to arrive.
Right. So they could take him down without
deadly
firing force on him. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the, that, and they needed, listen, the fact of the matter is they weren't going to just turn around and go, okay, that's fine. He'd been menacing people. There was an attempted burglary as part of this 911 chain that was coming in, and then police dispatch chain of communication that he was involved with. And again, this is just in the minutes leading up to it. And then they knew they had him corralled. Police weren't going to leave him alone. They weren't going to go, all right, that's it. We just got to go here because the guy's got a knife. I mean, the guy's got a knife.
Right.
Right.
And the public wants the police to respond to these types of situations.
Correct. That's why people call
the other way.
Right.
Right. But I think, as we've talked about, you really have two trials here. You've got the legal charges against Jason Van Dyke, but then you've got the public scrutiny on trial. You've got the Chicago Police Department and its practices on trial in the court of public opinion. And, a couple of interesting details that might not make themselves into, the coverage, of this case, but has been talked about, and that is, video, dash cam video that doesn't record. You've got a couple of camera angles on this shooting that, one of the cameras was out of memory. Another one, there was a glitch. There was a sergeant who testified today saying, oh, well, how come there isn't audio? Well, it's because the batteries were put in backwards. In one case, the microphones that the officers were supposed to wear put in the glove box.
Right.
And then you had more testimony after Laquan McDonald was shot that officers kicked the knife away but didn't immediately render aid. It was actually a Cook County Sheriff's officer who had come upon the scene who went over and heard Laquan McDonald's essentially final breaths.
Right. Right. They were right. And you wonder, because this video has been played dozens of times today in this courtroom, mm-hmm. and you do wonder what the effect on the jury is of watching that over and over and over again. Does it have a dulling effect? Does it have an agitating effect? There are a lot of questions here. But I think it's important and one of the reasons we're going to follow this as thoroughly as we are, I think it's really important for Chicago to be aware of exactly what happens in this courtroom, and that there is a very robust record of exactly what this is, because people are going to take from it what they will. And even the headlines of this, depending on hour-by-hour headlines, can lead you in directions in which the court case isn't necessarily going. So we'll continue to watch it. All right, Ben, we'll see you tonight, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 on the WGN-TV News. Thank you, sir. Ben Bradley in the WGN-TV Newsroom. All right, we're going to pick up CLTV here in just a few minutes and continue on with the discussion of the Jason Van Dyke trial, which is going on today, opening arguments and witnesses today in the trial of Jason Van Dyke at 26th in California. We'll get to all of that, but first, Judy's got the news in two. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN and CLTV. Mm-hmm. And we're wrapping up the Jason Van Dyke trial today. Paul Lisnek is joining us. He's the anchor and the co-anchor and analyst for the CLTV coverage of the Jason Van Dyke trial. He's joining us from the CLTV and WGN-TV newsroom. And also our own Mike Monaco is in the studio with us. So two great legal minds about to go at it here. In terms of the first day here, you had the opening statements for both sides. And you've already had, I think it's 4 or 5 witnesses thus far today.
Yeah, you had four.
Four.
But, before you ever got to that row, you had some motions this morning the judge had to deal with. We went into today saying, is it going to be a jury or a bench trial? Is he moving the venue? Both of those motions denied by the judge. Or I should say it will be a jury, obviously. And the motion to change the venue, denied.
And then what about prosecutors dismissed some of the counts, the charges against Jason Van Dyke? Talk about why that happened. Is that meaningful?
Yeah, and I'm sure Monaco has a lot to say about that. The bottom line is prosecutors have to be careful not to overcharge a case. And so here they had, I think it was 6 counts of first-degree murder and other counts. They dropped 4 of them. Essentially, what the prosecutors would have determined was, we can accomplish what we need with the couple of counts that we're going to have left in terms of what a jail sentence might be in terms of the punishment. And why overpromise? Why sort of force ourselves to do some things we don't necessarily have to do? Because if they don't meet that burden, which is a pretty heavy burden beyond a reasonable doubt, then down the line, you have jurors saying, well, maybe not guilty to count 3 and count 4 and count 5. And what does that say about count 1 and 2?
Okay, so can you explain that? Because I think that's very confusing to to the layperson. Let me just put it this way. Confusing to me. Why there would be six counts of first-degree murder when there's one victim here? What are those counts? What's the difference between the counts?
Is that to me or Monica?
Yes. Paul, we'll start with you.
Okay. So I don't have the complaint in front of me, but essentially every one of those counts, the number of people that are killed don't really matter in terms of that component. If there had been two or three people killed, you would have had two or three times potentially the number of charges. Every charge made gets its own charge, its own allegation, and a specific violation of some statute or law. So there were two counts of first-degree murder, but they are different in terms of saying there were two different things, two components that he did. Again, I don't have it in front of me right now. But the other ones, they decided, let's not put the burden on those to pressure us. I don't know if Monaco has it in front of him.
What is your thought, Mike?
I think that's right, and I think he's right. I think they're trying to simplify it, making it as simple as possible. And
that's the prosecutor dropping those charges.
That's why the prosecutor
But those charges, it doesn't change anything.
No, it doesn't affect the sentence, potential sentence.
Okay.
If he's found guilty.
And murder is still on there. Now, let's talk about this, too. This is an important point. This is the first day. I'm getting to the last day of this when the jury gets their instructions from the judge. Based on the evidence that will be presented, the judge can change the jury instructions to say this is that you can either vote for murder in the first degree or a lesser murder charge or manslaughter.
Manslaughter, right?
The
judge can do that. And now, normally, the defense has to agree to that. I'm assuming they would agree in this case, but we don't know. Sometimes they like to risk the whole thing.
There was just a famous case. You may remember the nanny case, Louise Woodward, right? That said, just as Mr. Monaco was saying, it was a classic case where it was first degree murder case, and there was an offer by the prosecution with the judge. Hey, look, we'll just go for something much less. And the defense lawyer said no, because you know what? There's no way this jury is going to convict her on murder, and so go for it all. And the jury came back and convicted on murder one, and the defense lawyers basically said, okay. That wasn't good. We never thought they would accomplish that. But the jurors' view on that at that time was, we know she did something, and that's all we had, so that's what we did.
Well, that's interesting, because you wonder, you saw murder one would mean you have to prove the intent, that he went there with the intent of trying to kill Laquan McDonald. And one of the things you heard in the statements today from the defense is that Jason Van Dyke is not a murderer. He did not go out with the intent to kill Laquan McDonald. He was laying out this self-defense, case about his client, saying this is an out-of-control individual, slashing tires, erratic behavior, knife in hand, came within 15 minutes of Van Dyke, was off to go 15 feet, excuse me, was off to go out to the Dunkin' Donuts and might have done more harm there. It seems as if he seems pretty comfortable with that. They won't be able to prove intent in this case.
Well, certainly not. He didn't go there with the intention of killing anybody. But
don't they have to prove that?
They have to prove once he started shooting, he had the intent to kill him.
Right. All right. So let's talk about the injection of race today for the first time.
Right.
You actually heard the prosecutor in this case mention race.
The government referred to Laquan McDonald as a black boy. Obviously, Jason Van Dyke is white. The government wants you to think that this is a racial issue because that's more inflammatory. Race had nothing to do with this. Race had absolutely nothing to do with this. And there will be no evidence whatsoever to suggest that race is a factor.
And that's a response to the prosecutor in this case saying that this is a black boy who had the audacity not to stop when the police asked him to.
Yeah, I think the
prosecutor... Were you shocked by that?
Well, we're going to see what the evidence is and how it comes in. Hopefully there's some basis for him saying that. I think, Ro, that is a risky thing to do, a risky point to make, which is to inject race in the case if there isn't any aspect here, which again, too early to know, that race is a piece of this. Listen, we're in a racially charged environment around this country with these kinds of incidents and these kinds of shootings, so you wonder if that's what the prosecution is going for, but it would seem to me, based on the tape you have showing the shots, we'll see what disputes it, but with that just standing alone, I'm not sure why the need to inject race is in it. By the way, when you listen to the defense opening statement today, you would think that Jason Van Dyke wasn't even there. He had nothing to do with anything. This was all Laquan McDonald's doing. the entire affair was all about Laquan McDonald, that's the job of the lawyers, where you're going to put the focus. The defense wants you to look at Laquan and the PCP that he was dealing with and all that kind of stuff, and the prosecution says, you know what, officers have a job to do, this guy crossed the line and it happened here. Race, I think, a dangerous step to take unless some evidence comes in to back it up.
PCP, by the way, because Laquan McDonald, toxicology reports did say that he was on PCP at the time. Mm-hmm. But that really would have nothing to do with the Laquan McDonald is not on trial. It's Jason Van Dyke who is on trial. And Jason Van Dyke would not have known that about Laquan McDonald. So is it a surprise that that was let in?
Well, listen, the prosecution led with it. During their opening statement today, they basically said right up front, you know, that Jason McDonald was on PCP, that that Officer Van Dyke didn't know anything about what McDonald was dealing with the 24 hours ahead of time. You started to see some questions come in on cross-examination of McDonald's relatives and his great aunt. You can see the defense wanted to kind of go there to build this case up. This guy was out of control. He was on drugs. Mm-hmm. But the prosecution headed it off right up front, which is what a good lawyer will do. If they know they have something that could be problematic, then put it out up front, put it on the table so that it kind of disarms it as the case goes on, or in this case, when the defense got up with their opening.
This is an unusual law. Illinois has a law that allows this kind of evidence to come in. That's why the state prosecutor brought it up himself, because he knew it was coming.
To inoculate. All right. Paul, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. We'll watch you again starting tomorrow morning on CLTV as the coverage continues. As long as they are in session, there will be video and audio of this trial on CLTV. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Busy. All right. Mr. Monaco, you stay right here. I've got more questions for you. If you could just stay right there in the witness chair right now, or we're going to go potty or check in with Judy and find out what's coming up in the newsroom at the top of the hour.
Senate Leader McConnell says the GOP will review Judge Brett Kavanaugh's accusation by the book. So, tune in to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning. Adam Ho will wrap up all the Bears matchup against the hated, feared, what do we call
dreaded.
Them? Dreaded Seahawks. He'll cover the game. What happened?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mike Monaco is joining us. We are now at the end of the, it appears, the end of the trial day for the Jason Van Dyke trial that's going on 26th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's it's a trial that the nation is watching, and we were just as we're finishing up with Paul Lisnek here on CLTV about what is what the jury saw today. I do find it interesting that the prosecutors, that the state, you know, this is the people of the state of Illinois, right? People of that, you know, against Jason Van Dyke. And this is a King County prosecutor who's been brought in to represent the state in this case, because the Cook County State's Attorney recused themselves because of all the wackiness with the videotape.
Mm-hmm.
The use of this opening in the opening statement saying that Laquan McDonald was a black boy who had the audacity not to stop when the police asked him.
That was in there because the prosecutor wants to imply a bad reason for Van Dyke to shoot him. Okay, so why did he shoot him? There, he's saying, now he's putting in the mind of Van Dyke that Van Dyke was upset that this young boy had the audacity to ignore the police. The police are telling him to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, of course, that's an unusual way for a prosecutor to talk about something like this.
Sure.
Because normally, if the police tell someone to do something and that person doesn't do it, police have a right to respond.
Right.
To
this
react.
This isn't about audacity. This is, you know, this isn't telling truth to power. This kid had a knife. He was,
and he's on PCP.
And he'd been stabbing car tires, and including a police vehicle that was following him that had stopped as he had stopped. They were trying to corral him away from other people in the public as he was doing this, and he stabbed out the car tires and then stabbed the windshield of the car, and obviously scratched the car. It's a car, so it's not it's an inanimate object, but still, this is not about a civil right. Audacity is a the context of that is in civil rights, or speaking up, or speaking your mind, and standing and doing something of an audacious nature that is about social justice.
But
that's the way that term has been used.
It's a decision. It's not someone who's acting on the because of PCP. I mean, this there's
it's a very I mean, I get I get that, and that's and there's and there is, you know, we use this term dog whistle all the time now, but there is a dog whistle to the use of the term audacity, right? It's basically saying it's putting you in mind of, oh, like the audacity of hope, right? The Barack Obama book and things like that. And so it's, oh, this is about, oh, audacity, that's a positive thing to have. And this is not the Laquan McDonald behavior that in the 24 hours preceding his death on that night, tragic it is. But this is not, and this has nothing to do with civil rights.
No, the prosecutor says this in order to make some evidence, to put in some theory as to why Officer Van Dyke shot this young man.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Because he wants it. His point is that it's because the police officer was upset that this fellow was not doing what the police told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Mike. More
Thank
on
you,
this
Mike.
Tomorrow. Coming up, the stories that matter with Judy Pilak from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.